Tremaine Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
Attack by score! Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies, like always, except, Carlos, it is not like always, because this is the last show before the 2025 USL Championship season actually starts. We have games this weekend, including for the Rowdies.
It's the last show ever. The podcast is disbanding after this, and everyone's going to disappear from the face of the earth, James. And we have a game this weekend, and that's so exciting. It's a late one. I think it's the last kickoff of the Saturday slate of games, which is kind of fun. You can also catch it on TUDN, by the way. That's awesome. I didn't know that. Again, spoiler alert, but there was a big announcement on the TV side of things, which was really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And this is just another opportunity for the Rowdies to get not only, you know, local to Las Vegas or Tampa Bay area, but nationwide publicity. That's awesome. People are watching soccer on Saturday nights. So I'm really, really thrilled. I'm hoping we have a great showing. We'll talk about that game in just a little bit. We have a special guest, a very, very special guest that you'll hear from in just a little bit, who leads this incredible, incredible club onto the field on Saturday. James, there's just so much to talk about. I'm so excited. It's not us filling in content for an hour anymore. This is the real deal. I mean, this is the meat and potatoes of it. This is no more appetizers. We're diving into it. I'm so excited. John Cena turned heel this weekend. If you watch WWE, there's so much going on in the world. And the Rowdies are a part of it. So I am so hyped up. James, calm me down. Let's slow down. What's going on in the life of James Knowles? How are you? How's everything going? How's life? Tell us about yourself.
Well, Carlos, you have asked me to calm you down. I am not the right person to do that because I actually met with a couple of people with the Rowdies along with our producer Eureka this past weekend. And one of the things that we took away from this was an internal feeling, an internal fire, in fact, that we are now trying to keep lit and burning at all times. So this is no longer RBLR Rowdies. This is RBLR Rowdies hype. This is RBLR Rowdies hype. And we are getting into this season this weekend. So we are going to not only get everybody involved, we're going to get everybody involved with the supporters, we're going to get everybody involved going to games, we're going to get them watching games, we're going to get them involved with this club in every way that they can be. So to start that, I just wanted to say thank you to our special guest that we're going to have on very shortly, but we're going to make this season extremely special. Carlos, if I can take one moment to get on a soapbox here. Last season, I wanted to find some type of description for the team, some way that when we inevitably won the trophy, it would be written, this is the way that the team was, and we could headline it that on our RBLR commemorative book. Of course, none of that ultimately happened, but I think the way that this is going to go is this season, when we inevitably win the cup, of course, we will have stuff written already about what this team is going to be like. And it is going to be based on our performances as podcasters, partly only because, Carlos, our new goal is to get as many people out to games as possible. Now, so before we start in with our discussion, our analysis, and most especially tonight, our interview, I just want to put it out there that last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago it was, we probably had one of our highest listenerships, one of our highest viewerships, because we were talking about the new USL D1 League and we had somebody on. Thank you, Kartik, for joining us, who knew so much about it that he gave us so information. And that's wonderful. We're going to talk about that some more in the future. Tonight is the night that I want to have the most viewership and the most listenership. And then next week, I want that to be higher. And next week, I want that to be higher, because we are going to try and get everybody listening, and we are going to try and get everybody listening to go to the games and return to games and become regular fans all the time. We want you to get involved with the supporters groups, with Skyway Casuals and Ralph's Mob. We want you to get season tickets if that's what you can afford, or at least just attend a couple of games. We want you to get your merch. We want you to wear your Rowdy stuff all around town. This is Hype Show. This is no longer RBLR Rowdies. It's RBLR Rowdies Hypes. RBLR Rowdies Hype. Multiple hypes. That's how many hypes it is. So, yes. Our goal, like I said, is to get as many people to come out and as many people to show up to all of the games that we have coming up here. And we have plenty of time to build up, Carlos, because we don't have one game just yet. So that is my spiel. That is my soapbox for 2025. This is going to be the hype season when we build a greater supporters group with bigger numbers in the Ralph's Mob and Skyway Casual sections. We're going to fill in every other seat in the stadium. We're going to sell it out all the time. That's my goal, to make that happen. Carlos, I'm sending it back over to you.
Round of applause. I wanted to calm down, but I'm fired up. I need a shot or something.
Shot of Jaeger, perhaps, in honor of our soon-to-be glorious Jaegermeister Cup.
We're going to win that. We're going to win the Open Cup. We're going to win the league. Since they give us a trophy for the Eastern Conference, we're going to end up with four trophies minimum by the end of this. If there's another one we can win, we'll probably win that one too. I will say I'm pretty excited about where the team is right now, and I'm really, really thrilled to talk with the leader of this squad in just a little bit, because I think we'll get a lot from that conversation, obviously. But there's a certain level of expectation now as well, right? This will be Robbie Nielsen's second season with the Rowdies. That first season was, you know, maybe not as up to par as maybe we wanted, right? Maybe the hype wasn't there as much because we kind of started to fall off towards the end of the year. But this is a squad that's been together now for a little bit. This is a guy who has plenty of experience as an incredible coach, who will now have his second full season in America, get rid of all the quirks and everything. And again, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So this is the year, James. I mean, I buy it. If you're hyped, I'm hyped. There's so many trophies to win with the Jaegermeister Cup. There's so much to get to. This Las Vegas game coming up this weekend will be fascinating. I think it'll be a great, great opening test, not even because of the team we're playing. We'll talk about the roster, but thinking more about the travel that comes with this first game, the chemistry that has to be built on a rather not great field. But it is what it is. So,
yep.
All that being said, plenty of reasons to be hyped up. If we're talking about continuing to build the culture of this club, the fan base, the supporters groups, I'll give a quick plug to sign up for the buses that Ralph's Mob is trying to put together, by the way.
Great shout out.
This is in the Ralph's Mob Discord. It's also on the Ralph's Mob Twitter. Go check those out, because they're trying to get enough interest generated for that Miami trip, and maybe more realistically and more exciting, that FC Naples trip on that 4th of July this summer. So that'll be a blast. There's a certain number of folks that need to be registered to make that a real possibility. So go ahead, put your name down, put your wife, your kids' names down, your husband's name down. Just put everyone in there, bring the whole family and get on the bus, and we'll have a great time with that. So just plug that in here before we do anything, because like you said, James, this is a season of hype. This is a season of continuing to build our exposure in the Tampa Bay area, not just, you know, as fans of this club, but as a podcast and as the Rowdies, you know, as a club. So there's just so much excitement going into this year, and I'm really, really thrilled. It doesn't matter. We're playing four games on the road. Who cares? We'll come back and we'll fill out Lang against Loudon, and it'll be
that's great. Right.
So all that being said, James Knowles, thank you for starting us off on fire. I'm going to get us right into things, unless there's anything else you wanted to say.
Nope. We are hyped up.
We're hyped
for
up.
our interview that we've got lined up with a special guest, somebody that Carlos, you and I always want to talk to whenever we can, because if you want inside scoops, if you want the actual know-how, if you want anything that has anything to do with the Rowdies, probably the first person you're going to think of is the manager of the team, Robbie Nielsen.
The guy. You got to go to the man.
Yeah.
You want to talk? You just got to go to the man. I mean, this is a guy who is obviously coaching these boys through an incredible preseason. I'm sure a very, you know, intense preseason. Now coming up into this Las Vegas game, I'm sure it's even more intense. So great conversation with him coming up here in just a minute. Like, subscribe to us on YouTube, subscribe to us on any major platform. We're probably there on even the not major ones. I don't know. We're everywhere. Follow us on social media at RBLR Sports, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. We're everywhere. We're in your walls. We're in the laptop in front of you. We're there. Another shameless plug before we jump into this interview with Robbie Nielsen. Oh, so excited. Liking and subscribing is free, but if you need some new threads ahead of this incredibly hype, incredible 2025 season incoming, go ahead and support this podcast just a little bit more by heading over to shop.rvlrsports.com, checking out all the incredible designs that have been cooked up over there for the relevance of this podcast. There's a bunch of Rowdy stuff over there that's really, really fun, really fun designs, really cool new gear that you can rep at that opening game against Loudoun next month at home, the opening home game, sorry, or at your house or at the bar, wherever you're watching the game on Saturday at 10:30 p.m. Yep, it's a late kickoff, but I'm sure you can find a place to watch this one. So go ahead, check out shop.rblrsports.com to find your new game fit for the Rowdies or any Tampa Bay sports team. There's Sun gear, there's Rays gear, there's Bucks gear, there's Lightning gear. The Lightning are, you know, closing in on their playoffs as well. So just plenty of stuff happening in the Tampa Bay area. Go ahead and support all your Tampa Bay sports teams, but especially your Tampa Bay Rowdies in this incredibly exciting time. Hype is the word James used. So go ahead and get hype and get your new merch. Promo code COYR for 10% off.
And here we are, everyone. We are talking to the Rowdies head coach, Robbie Nielsen, who is joining us very graciously away from, taking some time away from, I'm sure, a rigorous preseason training session, because naturally the season starting up this week, it's probably going to be getting as tough as it can up until actual games are played. So, Robbie, thank you so much for joining us this evening. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me. Look forward to chatting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are, of course, very excited to speak again with any member of the Rowdies organization, staff, coaches, players. But I don't think that, Carlos, we get really anybody better than a head coach on. So I will let you take it away and get us going on this.
Absolutely. Robbie, like James said, thanks for joining us. This is an absolute treat ahead of the opening matchup this weekend, all the way out west in Las Vegas. Quite the trip to open up the year. We can touch on the travel. I want to touch on the travel a little bit later on here. But let me jump into it just off the bat so we don't waste any time here, because there's so much to talk about. And before we jump into anything from this upcoming season, I want to ask you just to reflect with me just a little bit on this past season and tell me, generally speaking, can you give me a couple lessons that you say you would have learned last year? Now that you have a full season of USL Championship action under your belt, there's plenty of quirks of American soccer and the travel, and things are always changing. We have apparently a Division I league being a part of the United Soccer League in the next 3 to 4 years. So plenty of quirks in American soccer. Could you share a couple lessons that you learned in your first full season of USL Championship action?
I think there's a lot of lessons I learned. I think probably the unpredictability of the league and the games within the league is very much something that you need to deal with. You know, I think you have to be, it's a very transitional game in that, you know, some teams will try and build and play, but the majority of teams will play off second balls and, you know, more athleticism. The game's quite open. So I think from our perspective, we were pretty solid at home last season, you know, good record. The away games weren't as good, you know, and the record has to improve. And I think from our perspective, that will come down to being a bit more rigidly set up for the away games. you know, and try to make sure that we pick up more points. So that was a big, I wouldn't say a learning curve, but whenever you go into a league or, you know, continent as it is, you have to kind of figure out what the games are like, you know, and even within the league, you know, I felt a wee bit that Eastern Conference teams were probably more European style, whereas the Western Conference were probably a bit more South American style. So again, it's different, you know, teams and styles within each league, which obviously changes it. And then the travel and the humidity, the heat, the altitude when we were at Colorado, which is something I'd never, ever dealt with before, you know. So although you speak to people before and they talk about the travel and maybe the stadiums and the humidity and the heat and things like that, until you actually, you know, really get there and feel it the first time, you realise maybe the second time you go there, it changes things a little bit. Like, so I think we went to Phoenix and it was 105 degrees at 7:30 at night, you know, which people will tell you it's like that and you go, can't be like that, but it is, you know. Until you get. So, yeah, there was a lot of learning things, but I think I feel a lot more comfortable coming into this season because I've had the experience of a year. I've had the experience of the travel, of the players, the style of play. Now we've got an idea of what everything's going to be like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, full preseason under our belt, plenty of new players joining the squad and plenty of guys that we could say are new old guys. James, we've talked about some of these folks coming back to the squad. You have guys like Van Kaziel, Wyke, Castellanos. Rob, before I ask you about any of the new signings, how much of a benefit is this to your locker room, having guys who have been here for several years now at this point, thinking about guys like Leo Fernandez, having a great strong core and Lewis Hilton. And additionally, bringing in guys, like I said, Van Kaziel, Wyke, Castellanos, who have played with this club already before and are coming back for their second stints with the Rowdies. How big is a certain level of consistency that comes with folks that already know the culture, the club, the Tampa Bay area? And how much does that help you in the preseason like this one?
Yeah, I think it's really important, to be honest. I think you touched on the culture of the club. You know, it's really important that we have good characters within it, especially when we spend a lot of time on the road. You know, the first 4 weeks we'll be on the road. We travel to Las Vegas on Thursday. We're there until Sunday. So you have to have good characters within the group. So one of the key things we did was when we were recruiting, we wanted to bring guys in that we got either recommendations from or potentially guys who had been here before and, you know, had been good characters, because it's a big part of how we want to be. So having, obviously, your Leos, your Forrest, your Lewis, these guys like that that have been here for a number of years, they kind of set the tone for how we want to be, but also bringing guys in like Castor, Vanke, these kind of guys, Lawrence. We already know what they're like as people. We know they're good players, you know, which you can see by seeing them playing, but you don't actually really know somebody until they're in the building. So that was one of the big things for us, was that, you know, getting the references and getting guys that we know their culture.
Totally. And like I said, some big new names here as well. James, I'll just go ahead and ask about a couple of these names before I throw it back to you, because I can get carried away. There's some exciting new players here. We had a chance to talk with Ollie actually earlier this preseason, just a couple weeks ago. It was a fantastic time. He told us a lot about his career, what attracted him about the Tampa Bay area, and a little bit about what we can expect from him. On your side of things, someone we haven't heard from much is Rubens Pesillas, a player that I'm particularly excited to see because I'm biased towards the flashy goal scoring that comes up top. What can you tell us about an exciting new player like Rubens Pesillas coming in here, especially having lost Cal Jennings to not only, you know, another club, but Eastern Conference rival in Charleston? What do you think about Rubens' ability to come in and match Cal's goal scoring numbers?
Yeah, I think it was a big signing for us. It was something we chased for a while, actually. You know, it did really well in the CPL, you know, scored a lot of goals, and then obviously went to the MLS, was expecting to go into the first team there. Ended up getting put in an MLS Next Pro, and it was probably a difficult year for him. Although he scored a lot of goals, it was, in my opinion, too good for the level. And what happens sometimes when they're too good for the level, they actually come down to the level. Mm. You know? And I think he realised that, you know, he had to go out and play, you know, what we call proper football, you know, where it's competitive, you know, you've got, you know, played against majority of the time adults, because a lot of the MLS Next Pro is younger kids. So yeah, we tracked him all through kind of last season. Then also we looked at his stuff in the CPL and we thought he could come, and when he scores goals, but he brings pace, he brings energy, he brings power to the front line. And I think he'll do really well for us. He's done exceptionally well in the pre-season, scored a number of goals. Still got a lot of things to work on, which I think, you know, being young and, you know, pretty inexperienced in first-team football, but that will come. And one of the key things, again, is character-wise. You know, he's been great in the dressing room. So I'm excited to see how him and Manu kind of play together.
Absolutely. I'll ask you about one more new player joining this roster before I toss it over to James. In net, Nico Campisi. I'm really, really fascinated by this pickup. I just want to ask you a little bit about how this signing came up, if there's anything you can share about that, because James and I have talked a lot about how this is a player who seemingly had no connection to American football, American soccer, right? There was no connection to no former USL experience or anything like that. And came up from the Argentinian top flight, which is a great league down there, playing for Union. Seems to be a great caliber keeper. I'm less interested about what he can do on the field because it seems like he has a talent for it. I'm kind of curious about what you can share about how this signing came up. This is one of the more random but really promising pickups for the Rowdies this offseason.
Yeah, so probably most of it goes to our sporting director, Nico Castillo. You know, so Nico was, we kind of covered different areas when we're doing the scouting throughout the closed season. Obviously, Nico is Argentinian, so he knows a lot of the agents down there, knows the league, watches a lot of the league. So he kind of covers that South American area. You know, I'll cover the European side. We've got guys who cover the Next Pro and then the CPL as well. So we were obviously looking for goalkeepers, and you get them in from everywhere. And he was one that came in, and, you know, initially we really wanted to do the deal, but we didn't think it would happen. So it took a bit of time. We had a couple of options, and we kind of waited and waited for Nico because we thought it would be, it'd be very good for us. You know, I think that part of it is the experience he brings, but also, you know, something a little bit different. You know, I think that there's a lot of goalkeepers that seem to go around the USL and go club to club to club. And, you know, we felt we'd go out with the market and bring somebody in that you know, can bring real experience and also a different way of playing. So, you know, there's a lot of kind of things moving along the way. It took a lot of time to get it done because he had to get out his previous club and then he had to get the contract done. And as we all know, like dealing with South American clubs and players, you know, there's a lot of agents involved, a lot of different things. But thankfully, we've got him here. And, you know, he doesn't speak a huge amount of English, but he's taking lessons at the moment. And we've got a number of guys that can help him, you know, kind of progress in that. So it was an interesting deal, but it was one that we worked hard to get. And I'm thankful we got it over the line.
Absolutely. And he's got two guys in that back line, by the way, in Guillen and Castellanos, who I think could at least help build that chemistry with that.
Yes, I know that, to be honest with you, that was one of the, you know, we wanted to get him, but also communication in the back line is really, really important for us. You know, I think if it was a German keeper and, you know, a Spanish centre half, an English one, the communication is difficult, you know what I mean? So having two guys that could help him, we've also got Leo, can, you know, speak Portuguese, but he speaks Spanish as well. We've got a number of players within there that can communicate with him as well. So that was important for us.
Fantastic. James, take it away before I keep running down the list of new signings. So many questions.
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from there because it's something that really fascinates me as well, trying to get that background. But I did want to take this conversation in another direction while I had the chance here, just for anybody's edification, I guess. I am doing an opposition scouting course, which is entirely preparation for this season so that I can do a little bit better analysis here for RBLR Sports. And with that in mind, Robbie, I wanted to turn it to the tactical side of things. Yes. I wanted to ask you, I think that we've seen at least a couple starting lineups from the preseason, but there's not as much that you can glean about those, of course. So I wanted to ask you if Rowdies fans can expect to see a relatively similar lineup or at least a relatively similar formation to the 2024 season and how things went back then.
Yeah, but it'll be much the same. There's just a little bit of tweak in the midfield area, you know, for certain games, just to give us a bit more security in that central area. Because last season we played with a one and a two. You know, this season we'll still play with that at times, but sometimes we'll go a two and a one. We just felt that, you know, I kind of swayed over the close season about maybe changing to a 4-2-3-1, but I just felt with the players that we had in the squad and also the guys we're going to recruit that, you know, it suited them better. So that was the senior players, the younger ones as well. We felt we've got Nate Worth and we've got Andrew Mustali and we've got Matthias De Zeus, who we've just spoken about earlier on there. So one is a set of half, one's a set of midfielder, one's a striker. You know, if we play a 4-2-3-1, we've only got two centre halves that can play. With three, we get three, so it gives them more game time. Mm-hmm. We play 4-2-3-1, we've really only got two centre midfielders, you know what I mean? But we've got three if we put the three in there, and then having the two strikers allows us to get game time for Endry. So there was a lot of thought went into it. Yes, the tactical side of it, but also how it suits the players we've got, but also how we try and develop the young players and get them the game time that they need, which I think is, you know, it's one of the things that we really want to try and do at the club, is to get these young guys playing. You know, it doesn't need to be starts, but it means game time. So having a formation that suits the senior players and more experienced ones, but also gives the younger ones an opportunity to get game time is important to us.
It's interesting that that is a focus that you guys are actually putting into the lineup this season. I think that that's going to be music to a lot of people's ears, especially Carlos, you and I have talked about a focus on the academy players in the past and how that's something that we always love to see. So I guess I will take it from there and ask you, you mentioned Nate Worth, you mentioned Henry Mustali and Matias De Jesus, who we expect at this point to be signed to the Rowdies again. What were they like in preseason? How did they come along, and where did you see that these guys were fitting themselves into the team in terms of how many minutes they deserved and how they were fitting in with the locker room, all of that stuff?
Yeah, so first of all, start with Andrew's got a back issue at the moment, so he's probably going to be another couple of weeks before he's back training with the first team. This was one that kind of dragged on from last season, so that's been a bit of a disappointment. But, you know, we were going to go to the market and bring someone else in just to give us more numbers, but we felt if we did that, it takes Andrew's game time away when he comes back. So we'll be a little bit light in that forward area initially until he comes back in. With regards to Nate, and Nate played the majority of the pre-season games, you know, starting them. Again, it's about getting them game time. You know, we have four players in there, so there will be rotation. Because I do think that, especially when you play at Auld Lang, I don't really think centre midfielders can do 90 minutes with the heat and the humidity and the work ethic we have to. They have to do in there, so we'll rotate him in and out as he needs to be. Matias has done exceptionally well, really pleased with him. He came in last season and he'd come back over from, I think he was in Portugal, and he came back and he was still quite young, you know, not quite maturely developed physically. He had a good kind of end of season with us, got a wee bit of game time on the bench and things like that, went away, worked really hard over the close season, has come back and he's played, you know, quite a number of minutes in the close season, and it's... We play three at the back. We've got him and Aaron Gein are vying for the same position, you know. So if Aaron's not there, then Jesus comes in, and then it's up to him to then, you know, keep the position. So I've been pleased with the three and the two in the game time they got, and we'd expect the injury when he comes back in to get a bit more.
Gotcha. Well, as I said, that is very exciting to hear, and I think that we're all excited to get them out on the field and see where that goes. But return to the full roster here. I think that another thing that stood out to us at RBLR was that the Rowdies seem to have built a roster. You said it might be a little light up top, but there is a lot of depth at the back right now. And that's obviously very positive because, unfortunately, as everybody knows, we have dealt with large injuries over the course of the last couple of seasons, missing out on players like Forrest Lasso and Leo Fernandez. So how confident are you in the ability of the team to fill in if and when those injuries likely occur, with Forrest Lasso possibly being out at least for the start of the season based on his ACL tear last year?
Yeah, I think that the guys that we brought in, you know, majority of them can play in different positions as well, you know. So Vanke can come in, he can play, you know, anywhere across the back three. He can play a wing back if we need him. He can play centre midfield. Lawns, to an extent as well, can play in that midfield area, which he's done previously. We've got Pacific, who can play up front if we need him, you know. So there's guys that can move about within that formation. As I said, we're a little bit light in the forward areas at the moment, you know, but we hope when Andrew comes back in, then we can, you know, give us a wee bit of a boost there. But everyone else, you know, even Aaron Gein, to an extent, can play left wing back, can play the middle of the three. So they're all quite flexible.
Yeah, that's one of the benefits of the players that were brought in. When we have seen with Lawrence Wyke in the past, obviously doing very similar things. Lawrence Wyke is another guy like Robert Castellanos and a couple of others who have been brought back. And Carlos mentioned having, you know, the new old guys, so to speak. But in addition to that, of course, there are the established players who have been at the Rowdies for as long as probably anybody can remember at this point. Lewis Hilton, Leo Fernandez. How important are they for the upcoming season to continue to raise the standards of the team and make sure that everybody knows every day you're fighting for points, or you're fighting to move on to the next round. You're fighting for a trophy at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think it's important to have that continuity. You know, although we moved, a number of players moved out, you know, we still kept, I think we were like 10, 11 players that stayed from last season. You know, these were key players that they just understand, firstly, what the club is like, you know, what the city is like. They understand what the fan base is like and what's expected of them as well. So they keep that continuity. And it's always difficult in football when you lose a lot of your key players, because then you're then trying to build a culture, you know, from almost scratch. And although you can try and drive as a head coach, it gets driven by the players, and you never really know what you're bringing in really until they're in the door. So having these guys that can set the tone from day one, where it's on the training pitch or where it's in the changing rooms, or, you know, in the training ground, they do that for us, you know. And it's a case of the new guys coming in, adapting to that, and, you know, them driving the standards. You know, I don't really need to do a lot within the group really to drive the standards, because it's already there from the senior players.
That makes sense. I think that's probably one of the best benefits that you can get out of players who have been in that position for so long, of course, and they have the respect from anybody who would come into the organization. But Carlos, I will turn it back over to you for your remaining questions here.
Okay, so looking ahead, I want to touch on, I mean, there's so many places to go, James. Oh my goodness. So limited time, so many questions. Let's just start with this weekend, Las Vegas coming up, right? Obviously difficult in just the travel that comes with that, and the ensuing three matches that come after that away as well. But thinking about Las Vegas specifically, this is, well, actually, when you joined the squad last year, Robbie, it was, I believe, the first season where we actually play every single team in the USL. For most of the last several years, it was you don't play all of the Western Conference teams. You don't really make that much travel. Well, not as much travel out west. So I believe this will be your first time going out to Las Vegas. And it's one of those challenging places to play simply because the field is chaotic, right?
Say nothing of all the stuff that's right off the field.
right. Ignoring everything else in Las Vegas. The field itself is chaotic. It's very much an active baseball ground. But talking about the Las Vegas roster, have you had a chance to dive into the scouting a bit about what you think against this particular Las Vegas squad, a revamped Las Vegas squad that James and I have kind of been begging for at least a serious club in Las Vegas who turned things around last year? Have you had a chance to look at this squad, think about what's going to be challenging this weekend against them?
Yes, we, you know, we did a bit of the build-up last week, and then the last couple of days we've been doing it with the players that goes through the rest of the week. So obviously we get a new manager in Nocerino coming in, who was in Miami. You know, we've managed to get a few of the pre-season games, and, you know, it looks like they're going to play 3-4-3. You know, they're very quite a transitional team, to be honest with you. You know, they get two tens that will drop in. They get a striker they brought in from Oakland, you know, who's, I would say, more, I wouldn't say a target man, but he links the game quite well, and that seems to be the way they want to play. It's either get him and play off it, or they've got wing backs who are very attack minded. But I think, you know, from our perspective, we've got an area that we're going to try and, firstly, an area that we have to stop the way they play. But secondly, there's an area that, you know, we think we can take advantage of within the game. And that's kind of what we're working on at the moment. With regards to travel, you know, we'll travel out on the Thursday. We'll train in the morning at Waters. We'll travel Thursday, and then we'll train on the pitch on Friday afternoon. So that gives us a chance to kind of get used to the surface and things. And the feedback, one of the coaches knows, and our coach down there, saying that the pitch is in really good condition, best it's been for many a year. So we're hopeful to go down there, and, you know, it's decent, and we can pass the ball about.
Absolutely. And we could touch on, you know, the upcoming opponents and the travel that comes with that as well. At least Miami and Charleston are semi close by. So those will be huge, huge trips to make before that home opener against Loudoun. But I want to zoom out a little bit and look at the Eastern Conference and, you know, some of the other big clubs that we're going to be matching up against, and clubs that we're hopefully vying against for a title at the end of the 2025 season, particularly Louisville, Charleston. These are squads that are still up there. And having great off seasons, and that Charleston squad that, like I said, we'll be playing in just a few weeks from now. What are you seeing develop here in the Eastern Conference, because this is something that I think we've talked about on this podcast a bit before, that it seems like the Western Conference has its own quality clubs, but there's a certain concentration of incredible talent that's coming to the Eastern Conference specifically, and making the top of this table look very gray. It's going to be an incredible challenge with some of these big, big clubs out here on the East Conference. So can you just give me your perception of how this offseason has gone, and maybe the preseason, more importantly, how do you see this season playing out with really, really good talent still not only sticking around Louisville, but going to Louisville, going to Charleston, club like Pittsburgh reinforcing and getting much better. What do you see developing here at the top of the table, hopefully, in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously last year was my first year in the league, but having spoken to, you know, a number of coaches that we've got and fellow managers, I think that, you know, previously there was quite a big divide between all the clubs. You know, you would be going to games and potentially winning 5-6-0, even away from home. Yeah. Because I think now that the money that's getting invested into all the clubs, it's becoming a much tighter league. You know, so there's no, you know, potentially Miami last year was a team that, you know, they lost a lot of games, and you know, most teams would be going there and expecting to win. But I think now, you know, all the teams are going to be competing at the top end. I think it's going to be a very, very tight league. And obviously, with a reduction of the games as well, you know, we're down from 34 to 30 is going to make it every game really, really important. So, and I think that, you know, ultimately, like, football clubs progress when investment comes in, because you get better players and you get better facilities, you know, you get better. You know, so then the team then improves. And I think you're seeing on the East Coast a lot of investment coming in. And I think it'll be even more in the years to come as the USL gets stronger and stronger. You know, if they start to talk about D1 and things like that, you know, and you get other teams coming in, there's only going to be more investment within it. So I expect a league this year. I think last year I felt that Louisville was a bit of an anomaly, to be honest with you, because when you actually looked at the stats, you know, they were way above what their XGs were and XGs against, you know what I mean? Mm. We always expected it to come back down as the season went on, but it just stayed, you know. And it was one of those anomalies where it's just one of those seasons that the team have a fantastic season where, you know, they create 5 chances and they score 4.
Yeah.
Very rarely does that happen. So I would expect that to come down, back down to kind of where it should be. You know, if we can do that, you know, I think, you know, we've got a good chance of competing, if not winning the league. But I do think it will be, you know, a lot of the league will come down to how teams play against each other. You know, how we do against Chaps, how we do against Louisville. You know, that'll be a tight league.
Absolutely. Yeah, and then again, maybe one of those quirks about the American sports scene as a whole is this massive emphasis on the playoffs and the tournament, the postseason, right? Louisville having this incredible season, and then at the end of it, not even making it to the championship game, where Rhode Island and Colorado Springs faced off. So, yeah, like you said, it seems like there's a lot of parity this season. I think it's a good way to put it, especially in the Eastern Conference. But I do want to ask you really, really quickly about this new aspect that we'll be playing around with this season of the Jägermeister Cup. A fun tournament that we're throwing in here, and it seems like clubs are, you know, taking it seriously. It's not just some like random sponsored, you know, fun preseason tournament. It's an in-season cup, right? In addition to the U.S. Open Cup. So this is the first time, I believe, and you know, James, you might correct me if I'm wrong here, that we have these 3 different pieces of hardware to compete for in the same season. Does this change anything for you going into the season? I don't know if this is, you know, if it's exciting at all, or if it's really just kind of, you know, more games to play. It's more opportunities to play against Charleston, apparently, because we'll play them an extra time this year because of that cup. Can you just tell me a bit about what goes through your head when this wasn't announced?
It's another opportunity to win something. You know, well, that's what we want to do. We want to win. You know, we want to win the Eastern Conference, the championship. Now we get a chance to win the Jägermeister. You know, so that's the main objective when you come into any tournament, is to win it. So I'm looking forward to it. I think, you know, the teams we've got in it, you know, Tormenta, who we played in pre-season there. We've got FC Naples, I think, is the other one. We've got Miami and Charleston. You know, so it's games that we want to go and win, but it's also gives us an opportunity to develop some of the young players, you know, so the, and some of the games within that Jägermeister, especially in the group stages, you know, will give opportunities to some of the younger players to get that game time under a little bit of pressure. So I think it's a great opportunity for us to progress to go and try and win it, but also give game time in those early stages.
Absolutely. Okay, and then before I throw it back to James here, this is obviously, again, your second season here with the club, coach. So we've talked a lot about the on-field stuff, the tactics, the opponents, the goals, right? Obviously, to win all three tournaments and come out of here with an incredible season. but can we talk about a little bit of – can we touch on your off-field goals, maybe around the culture of the club? Is that something you've thought about? The I don't know. We're looking ahead. I'm thinking ahead now to what the future has in store with – we've been a bit existential with this D1 announcement and everything recently. But could you tell us a bit about any, like, off-field goals that I have this season in terms of continuing to build culture in the Tampa Bay area, continuing to help expose the wider Tampa Bay area to the Rowdies as a whole? The TV announcement that we got earlier was incredible, that we have, you know, more local exposure to the area for the club. Can you just tell us a little bit about, if anything, you've been thinking about in terms of off-field stuff?
I think that, you know, the main thing we think about a lot of time is filling our line, you know, and how we do that. You know, you do that by winning games, which is obviously really important because teams, people want to come and see winning teams, but also engaging with the community and making sure that we're out there, that we're visible. You know, so we have a great charitable arm for the club, and Nate runs all that kind of thing. So the players are involved in that. I think we've got a bowling thing coming up at the Boys and Girls Club in the next week or two, which the players will attend as well. So, you know, all kind of comes together. So from the outside, more of the outside thing, you know, my job is to kind of build the inside of the club, you know, as in like the culture and the young players coming through. And part of that will be, I spoke about it last year, and it's something we've been trying to get off the ground a bit more, but having more academy contract players that come and train with us and, you know, get some game time, because, you know, the way the USL is set up, they have, you're allowed two academy players on the bench, you know, so you'll have a squad of 18 and then you get an extra two, so you have like seven subs you can put nine on if it's two academy players. So there's opportunities to get these guys involved and, you know, try to build that. I think it's really important because there's a lot of really good youth setups here. You know, we're not really connected with them at all. You know, so one of our ex-coaches, a guy, Russell Stirling. So Russ has kind of come off pitch a little bit and is now more focused on building relationship with these youth clubs to try and filter these players into us. So, you know, we see that as like filling our line. Yes, we'll be like winning games and the community and the, all that side of things. But, you know, being visible in the community by giving young kids opportunities, I think is really important. You know, because ultimately, do you want to come and see someone play for the Rowdies that comes from 5,000 miles away? Or do you want to come and watch somebody who grew up 5 miles down the road from you, you know, that you've got a connection with? So I think that's really important. So that's one of the things we're going to try and build a bit more this year. You know, we're still waiting for authorisation for it to go through. If that goes through, then we'll have a number of kids that come and train with us every morning. You know, so they'll be there where it's 8, 10, 12, whatever we can get. And then they'll also train with the first team, and then with the potential to come into the first team squad and then potentially get game time. So I think that's probably the big thing that I'm trying to push at the moment.
Yeah. And there's just a wealth of incredible youth talent in the Tampa Bay area. And you see it in, you know, the youth clubs. And I always see this with even the high schools. The high schools in the Tampa Bay area are consistently dominating the top 25 of national, you know, programs in the entire country. So it's fascinating how much talent there is in this Tampa Bay area. And I'm really, really excited and glad to hear that that's continuing to be a big focus for the club.
Yeah, I think it's trying to give them a pathway, because at the moment, you know, we've actually got a boy, Nick Scubas, who went out to, called is it the Buckeyes, Ohio, am I right in saying
yes,
that?
Yeah.
He was on the bench. He actually made his debut for us. So he went out. He's obviously went to college. He's coming back for, I think they've obviously got some time off. He's actually coming in next week to do a wee bit of training with us. But, you know, we're kind of missing out on these guys because we didn't really have a pathway for them. You know, so we want them, and I understand a lot of them want to go to college and get an education, a scholarship, but we also want to provide them an opportunity. If they want to go into the pro game, then they can come in with us. Because I do think, like, you know, Nick's a prime example of that. I think he came through I think it was TBU, you know, came into us, played some games, but had already made the decision that he wanted to go to college. You know, we wanted to come through these youth clubs and then come into the Rowdies and go, right, I want to come and play for the Rowdies and be a professional. So let's try to give them that opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. James, anything on your end?
Well, I do want to reiterate again, that is all music to our ears here. Hearing about the Academy stuff is fantastic. And we are rooting on any progression within that realm. So we're right behind you there. But the last question that I had for you was something related to what you mentioned, where, you know, a lot of people, obviously, they want to come to Al Lang and they want to support a team that wins. Last year, of course, was probably not the season that everybody wanted. First of all, with coaching staff and players, I can only imagine. But how do you go from last season and move into this season and make it the year that you want, with the caveat, of course, that it's never down to just one big factor or something like that? There's not one big thing that doctors hate this secret or whatever. It's nothing like that. But what can you do to make this the season that everybody wants it to be?
Yeah, I think probably keeping as many players available and fully fit will make a huge difference for us. I think last season we started the season pretty well. What we usually do is we split the season into like three blocks. So last season we did like three tens and then the final four. This season, because it's 30, we'll go three tens. Last season, we actually had a decent start to the season. I think we took 16 or 17 out of the first block of 10. The second one, we had a really good block. We went 22, which was one of the best in the league. But the last block, we struggled through injury, you know, but also because we had injuries, we were relying on guys to go every week after week. And we ended up having a really poor block at the end. I think we only picked up like 8 points out of the last maybe 30 points, something like that, you know. So that really, really hindered us. But I think it was a culmination of, you know, playing the players throughout the season, getting a number of injuries kind of midway through it, and then having to rely on these guys every single week. So what we're trying to do this season is, like, you know, make sure the guys are fully fit almost right the way through. So just managing the load as we go through, giving them a little bit more time off, you know, and, you know, just to make sure they're always fit. Because I think if we can do that, if we can keep probably that 85% to 90% availability of the squad, then I think we'll have a very good season.
All right. Well, I think that would probably obviously make a huge difference, but that's good for me. Carlos, anything over to you now?
I feel like we've taken plenty of your time, Coach. Again, I could ask you a million questions about the rest of the new signings. I'm just fascinated about how this offseason has gone. It was funny earlier on in the offseason. You could see the restlessness on Rowdy's Facebook. Where are the keepers? Where are the keepers? Where are they? And then we were really, really excited to see who we ended up bringing to the squad. And it was quiet after Ollie for a little bit, and everyone was like, damn, like, where is everyone? So it came along incredible. And like I told James, the offseason flew by and the season snuck up on us. So I'm just really, really happy to have everything.
Yeah, well, thanks for your time, lads. Enjoyed the chat.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And there was our interview with Robbie Nielsen. Carlos, I don't think that could have gone any better for us. We got in all the questions that we have been wanting to ask for a long time. But yeah. In addition, we got a lot of his time tonight. So thank you, Robbie Nielsen. Thank you to the Rowdies for having us, for speaking with us in multiple different times this past week. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, that was what, 35-ish minutes of conversation with head coach Robbie Nielsen. That's a long time. And I still have so many questions. I wish we could spend hours with him just chatting. In the future, we'll get him back on and we'll chat.
Exactly.
But yeah, there's so many people I want to chat to on this squad, so many new names. I mentioned this, I'm very fascinated by Wubens Pacias, because this is going to be, I think, a very key player on this squad. Obviously, yes. You need goals and you need someone that's going to hopefully match up somewhat to the production that Cal Jennings had, right? So hopefully we get some great numbers from him. He's going to be an important player. And I don't really know anything about Wubens Pacias' personality. I don't think I've ever heard his voice, actually, now that I think about it. I would love a chance to chat with him sometime in the near future as well, because I hope he's going to be a great, great contributor to the squad. The Kitless Rowdies, James, take on Las Vegas this weekend. Nothing on that end yet. I would assume we got something before the game, though, James. We'll have to wear something on Saturday.
Assumedly.
I assume that comes out sometime this week. Really, really excited to see whatever that is. By the way, Charlie has produced some incredible kits for their clubs that they're partnered with around the world. Some great kits down in Mexico. Just really almost like experimental stuff, which is
cool. Absolutely.
They really like to push the boundaries of what a traditional kit might be, which I think is really cool. So hopefully we got a really cool experimental looking third kit. I've always said I would love like a sort of City Connect type of thing for the Rowdies, like the way that Major League Baseball has for some of their teams. But I digress. We'll be wearing something on Saturday or not. Maybe we do shirts and skins when we play the Las Vegas Lights away at the infamous Cashman Field, formerly home of a UFL team, currently home to a baseball squad, and the Las Vegas Lights. 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Vegas, Rowdies, Lights, a squad that's a real team. That's not a pushover anymore. It doesn't bring out llamas at halftime. This is an actual club that is winning games and competing and making playoffs like they did last year. This is a good team, James. I'm curious to get your more analytical and tactical breakdown because, as we know, you know much more about that than I do in just a little bit. But off the bat, general initial things about our own roster. Do we know about any injuries? Well, we just talked about one kind of injury with Robbie in that interview, by the way. Andre Mustali still dealing with some sort of minor back injury. We are rather thin up top in terms of depth for our strikers. I would assume we get Arteaga and Rubens Pasilla starting in this one. So not a lot of depth on that end. Certainly some players like Pacific Nyongabire, like Coach Robbie Nielsen said, that could push up there if needed. We'll have to have a hopefully healthy squad in and out of this game going into next week. Hopefully we get injury back safe and sound and healthy and ready to play matches. We know Ortiz is loaned out, so we don't have him anymore to back up our strikers. So, James, some initial thoughts on this game. Can you tell me how you're feeling? Can you tell me if you're – I'll tell you I'm excited. I'm going to say – I don't know. Like, I'm just ever optimistic, so I'm hoping we're going to go in here and win 5-0, 6-0, 7-0. Maybe not realistic. But tell me, what are your initial impressions on this matchup just generally? What do you think we could see play out here in Las Vegas?
Well, Robbie Nielsen mentioned how in their preseason they have had some access to preseason games from Las Vegas Lights. I will just go ahead and tell you now, we do not have that here at RBLR Sports. As much as we have the budget to own the mantle of the earth, which is something that we do own, by the way, we do not have access to the Las Vegas Lights preseason games. So we're going to keep pushing for Eureka to get rid of the Earth's mantle and help us out with maybe some things that are a bit more practical here.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we're just going to have to look at the roster. And by the way, if you do want to look at Las Vegas Lights roster, as I did in preparation for this, do not use Wikipedia, use Transfer Markets. Neither of those is the best source, but one of them is at least accurate, at least a little bit more up to date. The Las Vegas website, their actual like personal website, does not have a roster tab, so you can't quite see that. You just have to use the news page, and ultimately you can get a little bit better of an idea of which players they have.
You can just on guess. The club.
Yeah, exactly. You could also just guess, but if you want to get a little bit of information about who's on the team, then you're going to have to go through the news, and we're going to do that in addition to players that we have from last year. So a couple of standouts immediately are their right back, Sean Smart. He is originally a Clemson player. He decided to forget trying in MLS, and he signed with Las Vegas last year. He did so well that for some reason MLS put them in their draft this past season, and he was drafted. But I believe that Sean Smart has just re-signed with Las Vegas, which is probably better for him than joining any team in MLS, because there's a lot less likelihood that he's going to get minutes. And his minutes were fantastic in Las Vegas. Keep an eye out for him. Valentin Nohel is another player that I think many Rowdies fans will be familiar with because of his time, I believe, with Miami and the New York Red Bulls too in the past. Regardless, he is going to be a central midfielder that we see a lot of. And then there are two other players that I wanted to immediately start out with. Dauda Peters. That is a very interesting name, and it might even be Peters, but I do not speak any of the languages that they speak in Belgium, so I'm going to avoid trying. He is originally a Juventus youth product. Yes, that Juventus. He did not make the grade, naturally, and somehow he has found his way to Las Vegas. I don't know how that happened, but well, good enough for them.
Turin and Las Vegas are very comparable cities, I've heard.
In some ways, I'm sure they are, but Dauda Peters has found his way over to this club, and I'm assuming that he's going to be a very good player for them. The last one that I wanted to highlight is center back Malik Howell. He was recently called up to the Jamaican national team, so you can figure that he's going to be a good player as well. There are other players on the team, like center back Yunus Boudadi, who is a USL veteran at this point. Joni Rodriguez, another player signed from elsewhere in USL and has a lot of experience here. Christopher Pearson is their latest midfield signing, as well as Rory O'Driscoll, who was recently an MLS Next Pro, and goalkeeper Carver Miller. We don't know who will be their goalkeeper just yet, but I do want to also point out that one player from last season, Charlie Adams, has left the club very recently to join Colorado Springs Switchbacks, so we will not at least have to worry about him. I guess, based on what Robbie has told us, we can probably expect to see Las Vegas in a 3-4-3 formation. That's the most information that Carlos and I have, again, due to the whole RBLR owning the mantle of the earth situation. And
I didn't know we owned that, actually. That's
news. Yeah, it's something that Eureka tries to hide from us because I feel like he's planning something for when either you or I end up losing in the predictions game.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, we're going to have to do pretty well there, too.
Yeah.
But the other final thing to note with Las Vegas is that their current manager is the manager from Miami FC in 2024. Now, Antonio Nocerino obviously had a very erratic spell with Miami FC, and they did very poorly. Was that down to his manager style? Was that down to his players? Probably a little bit of both at times. But I think we can safely say that regardless of what Antonio Nocerino tried to do, his style was not impacting properly the players that he had at his disposal. Let's put it that way. So he's definitely going to have a better roster this season. Is it going to be a roster that fits exactly what he wants? We don't know that yet. It's up in the air because the only thing that we have to go off of are preseason games. And frankly, preseason games don't mean a whole lot. I think the Rowdies drew 0-0 with USF, as much as that's kind of cool for the USF Bulls. Carlos, I don't think there's anybody on either team who would say that they're exactly equivalent level.
James, I will say I'm going to have to disagree with you on one thing. You said Nocerino's stint was erratic. I'm going to have to push back there and say it was actually incredibly consistent.
That's, you know what?
It was consistently terrible. I mean, there was it was L after L after L every week. And again, maybe not entirely his fault. This is one of the more interesting, like, falling up situations I've ever seen. I'm in the USL because, like, there's not really you can't really point to a much worse USL season in the history of USL. And even though the Miami players aren't, you know, world beaters, he didn't really have a great squad to work with. I think we can attribute some of it to him because, I mean, this was what, the second? This might have been the worst. No, with Aruba, it was like Aruba or there was like a random
Antigua Barracuda.
Antigua Barracuda had a worse season for an independent club.
That's right. That's good.
they never. By the way, they never played a single home game that year. All their games were away. So take that
in Florida.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that this is for all intents and purposes, the worst independent season that a club has had in the USL history in Miami. So I'm not saying it's all his fault, obviously, but I think he's going to do not a ton with this squad is my long-term prediction for this season. That being said, they're still fine. It's still going to be pretty competitive. They have some pretty decent players, like you said, some of the ones you just mentioned in there. I will say maybe his Orlando City background takes him down a couple notches in terms of how much I want him to succeed. Yes. But either way, I don't see like a lot happening for this Las Vegas squad long-term this season. They'll be fine though. They'll be fine. I mean, I'm not sure if it's going to build on the success from last season. I think they'll kind of be around where they were, low end playoff, maybe surprise a team in that first round. But I wouldn't see big moves happening for them. I will say former Rowdy Raiko Rosarena is still on the squad, and he had a great season last season.
He did.
So can expect him to continue to build on that this season. Holding on to that spot as the starting keeper only builds more confidence. He's a fantastic keeper in his own right. So I would imagine he continues to develop, slowly reach his prime. Yeah, Raiko's a fantastic goalie. So this will be a tough matchup for our forwards up top. He's incredibly athletic, great reaction time. So there'll have to be some quick, timely finishes for our boys up top. Maybe some good shots from distance. I always love to see that from the Rowdies. We don't get a ton of that in the last several seasons. But okay, that was my pushback on the Torino's incredible historic consistency down in Miami. I could give you my prediction now. I mean, it's really hard because I think roster wise, we are like significantly the better team. I think there's a pretty good gap here in terms of just talent on the roster. But it's the first game of the season. So you're talking about chemistry issues. You're talking about traveling across the country.
Yep.
To a city that's incredibly tempting. You know, I can imagine there's probably thoughts of heading over to, what's the famous casino over there?
Like the all of them.
All of that, whatever. I'm hoping we save that for after the game. So a little post-game celebration after we win 5-0. But
there we go.
That being said, there's a lot of external factors outside of just the roster that we have to think about here. So the field could be as chaotic as it ever is in Las Vegas. But I do still feel pretty good about our odds in this one. Like I said, it'll be on TUDN, national TV, hoping for a really, really great showing from the squad. Maybe make a new Rowdies fan out of someone watching, you know, a Spanish-speaking channel on the night. I feel pretty good, all things considered. So, I don't know. James, should we throw in a prediction in here? Is it time? Anything else to say?
The only last thing that I have to note is we have played Las Vegas Lights 4 times in our collective and shared history, and we have beat them 4 times. I believe that we can win again, and that is going to be my prediction. Carlos, if you're ready, you can start, but I am also good to go.
Okay. I'm going to give a low-scoring prediction here that ends in 3 points for the Rowdies, which would be very nice because we struggle, I think, to open seasons with a win. I'm going to walk out of here, not personally, because I'll still be in the Arlington, Virginia area, but the Rowdies will walk out of Las Vegas with a 1-0 win. It'll be a shutout in our first game. Defense will play well. But I think we'll just have a pretty stout midfield that won't really let the chances develop for Las Vegas in the first place for most of the game. Nico Campisi is going to make a couple big saves here and there, but we'll walk out of here with a intense but simple 1-0 win.
I am going to go with a win as well. Is that surprising? I don't know, but we'll see how new RBLR 2025 hype season goes. Possibly a lot more win predictions from me, the usual bummer of the predictions. I'm going to go with a 3-1 win.
Whoa.
Rowdies scoring 3 and only giving up 1 to a player that I wanted the Rowdies to sign, but who actually joined Las Vegas, and that is going to be Knight Pickering, previously of Memphis 901. That is going to be my prediction, a 3-1 win. There you have it, folks. One of these will be good, or there is the potential that Eureka has chosen the right one with a 1-1 draw. He says specifically a 1-1 draw, and we're happy about it. So Carlos has given him the thumbs down. I am giving him 2 thumbs down for that one.
Lame.
But there we go. All right.
Knight Pickering is a good shout. I think this is probably one of the players we didn't mention. That's probably their most dangerous player. Really, really solid forward. attacking piece for Las Vegas. A lot of the names that you mentioned earlier are folks that, frankly, I haven't heard of. And I think are guys that might have gone more under the radar. Knight Pickering is one of those guys that if you've paid any attention to the USL, you've probably heard the name, and for good reason. So that's at least one really, really good piece up top and one really, really good piece at the back in Riker Rosarena. This Las Vegas squad, like I said, James, I mean, I think we have the talent to, on paper, to go over there and win. We'll have to see how it plays out on the field. It's not going to be a pushover. It's not going to be a pushover. I'm surprised by your 3-1 win result prediction, but I'm very, very happy because this is a new James, guys. This James last year, traveling out west, new team, a lot of new faces on this squad. This James last year predicts a draw at best, absolutely. So this is pretty, pretty thrilling stuff for me personally on RBLR Sports. James, that's all we have on the Rowdies Las Vegas preview. Exciting stuff. Watch the game. Bump the TV numbers. Turn on Tudena if you want to learn a little Spanish. Go to the bar and tell them to put on the Rowdies game. I don't care. We'll just expose the Rowdies a bit more around the Tampa Bay area.
Go to the Spanish bar and do the same.
Yeah, sure. There's a Jamaican bar in Hillsborough. You can listen to some reggae music while watching the Rowdies game at 10:30 p.m.
There we go.
So many options, man. There's so many options. Tampa Bay 44, by the way, speaking of more exposure, just announced an extended TV deal with your Tampa Bay Rowdies for not just home games like it was last year, but away games as well. This is awesome stuff.
This is great, great news.
This is awesome. Speaking of more exposure and exposing the Tampa Bay area to the Rowdies, Tampa Bay 44, this is awesome. So Tampa Bay 44, open air, you know, cable, TV, station, everyone has access to it in the Tampa Bay area. They showed all the home games last year, which was a pretty exciting, somewhat historic deal for the Rowdies. Just really, really thrilling. It was great to see the Rowdies more publicly on TV in the Tampa Bay area. It's just really, really cool to have that be like a local possibility because I think despite how much the Rowdies have grown in the last several years, there frankly still are a lot of folks who don't know the Rowdies are still around.
Right.
You know, especially the further east you go in the Tampa Bay area, I would say. The further east you go, further east Hillsborough, you get out to, you know, Brandon and whatnot, like, I don't know, closer to Lakeland. Folks just don't really know about the Rowdies as much. This is awesome. And plenty of folks in the Tampa Bay local area as well. So more games on local TV. And not just home games this time, but away games as well. More opportunities to see the Rowdies, more options for the Rowdies fan to catch the games. You don't, in theory, you don't need ESPN Plus or, you know, CBS or whatever anymore to watch these games. So that's pretty cool if you just want to stick to cable as well. This is awesome, James. I mean, I only have great things to say about this. I think it's a great sign that the channel itself wanted to go in here and make this an expanded deal to include the away games as well. I'm sure that's indicative of pretty decent success last season with just the home games. So I would imagine there's even better numbers for the away games. What are your thoughts on this, James? This is, I mean, on my end, I can only say I'm happy. I'm excited and just kind of thrilled to see more Rowdies publicity in the Tampa area.
No, this is perfect. This bleeds over exactly into where I started this podcast, which is, the whole goal for me this season is to get more people involved in the Rowdies in one way or another. More people I want watching every game that's home and away. More people attending all of the home games or close away games that they can. More people wearing shirts. More people putting up stickers. More people demanding to see the Rowdies when they go to a restaurant or a bar or what have you. This is what I want, and I think that this is perfect for it. This is awesome. That's exactly what we need.
And this is almost easier, by the way. I'm just thinking about this, walking into a bar, you know, there's a TV on, whatever. This isn't like on a streaming app or anything. It's just right on TV. This is like, it makes it so easy to put it on, not just at your house, but at the bar, like you said, James, like literally anywhere. the Lightning, for example, you can only watch on like ESPN Plus and like FanDuel Sports Network and, you know, whatever stupid name. You know, Bucks games are always like kind of blacked out or whatever. What else? I mean, the Rays games are kind of on sometimes. Like Rowdy's games, just being that accessible is awesome. It's just awesome. So, yeah, I've always said we just really need to kind of throw our brand more around not just the St. Pete area, but the Tampa area.
Yeah.
Really get people invested in Tampa to make that drive over to St. Pete, especially if we're doing this whole D1 Fandango, James. Like, if this is a real thing, then we have to really push it a bit. And I think the Rowdies are – I think this might be part of, you know, the Rowdies' attempt to really make that push and prove that this Tampa Bay market is all in on the squad and soccer as a whole. So it's pretty exciting stuff. So I'm thrilled that this is a possibility throughout the Tampa Bay area and all the way out to Kissimmee, by the way. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. Encroaching on somebody's territory, it might be.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's perfect. So I our last bullet point here is something that Carlos already mentioned. Please sign up for the Rouse Mob buses if you can do that. That is for Miami and Naples away games. They are obviously trying to get as many people involved so that we can get this planned ahead of time and ultimately get a good showing at these away games. So with that being said, 2025, especially at RBLR, here is going to be the season of hype. We are going to get you involved in every way that we can. If you're watching the podcast, if you're listening to the podcast, if you have heard a little clip of this podcast on social media, your next step is to check out the Rowdies on their page, whatever social media you're on, or on their website. From there, I want you to look at the tickets. I want you to then go to the supporters groups. I just mentioned Ralph's Mob. If you're south of the Skyway, go to Skyway Casuals. If you're over and you want to start your own, you can start your own. But you have got to get involved and come to as many games as possible and make it an event. The Rowdies are going to probably, let's hope, be part of the USL Division I team that they're going to be making for whatever year, probably 2027, or at least that's what they tell us, maybe a little bit later. The point is, if this is going to be a USL Premier Division team, then we need to make it that way. We are the ones that need to make it that way. All of the fans attending games, wearing merch, going to stuff related to the Rowdies, and making sure that the numbers are good in every metric possible. So this is the year of hype. Folks, get into it. Get bought in. Go to this game if you're in Las Vegas. Or when the Rowdies come back, go to a home game and join us there. RBLR Sports is leading the charge. Get involved in every way that you can. Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's do it. James, great way to wrap up there. Again, that plug for the Ralph's Mob bus. Show up home, show up away, especially if it's like this close, guys. Like, come on, you can make a little. It's 4th of July. You probably have off work, right? Like,
that's right.
Hop down there. Enjoy the time in Naples. It's a cool city, you know, a bunch of old folks, but have a great time down there, man. Like, it'll be cool. They're building a culture down there too, right? I mean, they've sold close to 4,000 season tickets is what I heard.
Yep.
And a 5,000 person stadium. That's fascinating. Great for them. Great for soccer. Great for local communities to build their clubs. But that means a great showing from the away fans, in this case, the Tampa Bay Rowdies fans, would be incredibly welcome. It'd make an awesome atmosphere. So make that trip down there. Get on that bus. When it fills up and you don't get the spot on that bus, go ahead, drive down there. It's not a long drive. Just make it down there. Stay the night. Have a great time. Make it a good 4th of July weekend.
There we go.
Make it the season of hype, James. Absolutely. And start by following RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Threads, anywhere. Plug, James, I'm throwing here. James, plug your own socials here. Give me what you got.
Despite sitting in the dark as I currently am, I am also on Twitter. I am not just in the dark, metaphorically or otherwise. I am at RBLR James K. If you would like to join me there, you can use the hashtag AskRBLR, or you can jump on Carlos's at
CarlosTPA10 on Twitter, x.com, whatever you want to call it these days. I'm there. It's not a great app, but I'm there. And we're tweeting and we're sharing, and there's content to talk about now as the Rowdies get the season underway. And like and subscribe to RBLR Sports wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, and Google Podcasts. We are there, James. It's been a long offseason. We've had plenty of great interviews ranging from Ollie Bassett to former rowdies like Jan Ekra and Sebastian Dalgaard. We've had interviews with now Robbie Nielsen. There's just been plenty of content this offseason. If you haven't caught up, now would be the week to do it. Now would be the week to do it. You still have 3 or 4 days here ahead of that Saturday game. Go ahead, head back there, listen to some of the past interviews. There's been some great chats that James and I have had. So enjoy those. Take in all the Rowdies content you can this week ahead of the most exciting time of the year, March Madness. But I mean it in a soccer way, James. This is a great time to be alive. So get behind the Rowdies. Get on the Ralph's Mob bus. Sign up for that on the Discord or Twitter page of Ralph's Mob. And make it a good time. James, from RBLR Sports, ahead of this Saturday match at Las Vegas Lights. Come on, you Rowdies.
Let's go, baby. Come on. It's hype. It's hype season. 2025.
Hype. Season of hype.
We're doing it.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.